Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of By the Numbers, the quintessential Counter-Strike podcast. I'm your host, Richard Lewis. Joining me, appropriately for a man who's always at war with North America, it's Duncan Thorin Shields from Vietnam. How are you doing, Duncan? You're good?
And we will win here as well. I mean, maybe with all the stuff going on in CSGO, all the tournaments, maybe I'm part of Chinese expansion.
Not bad. Yeah, well, thanks very much.
Did also have a soft spot for the French back in the day, but not anymore. Straight fire, all that.
Straight fire.
Over all these fucking pleb sets, if I'm being honest, Rich. Just lost on them. Isn't it? They're all like, what's that mean? Something about existence. Yeah, great, whatever, guys. Fuck off.
Well, it's good that you've joined the show.
Literally on holiday as well. Just bad mood as well.
It's all right. Well, you can iron it all out in the podcast and then go have a good time on the beach and we'll timestamp this one down to like 2 minutes long or something. We did it. If people didn't tune in, fuck them. I've been having a good time. I could use a fucking holiday. I obviously made the grave error of assuming that the internet wouldn't be fully fucking stupid for just a few days. Wrong, of course. I had my usual...
You have to realise, Rich, I have actually learned that the fighting game community, while I'm sure there's loads of cool people,
community,
as far as I know, they have like their own little areas they go to. So I'm sure you don't get experience a lot of it if you're on Twitter, but that is the fucking Dota 2 of, I don't know, fighting games, I assume, is like whatever it is, because the backlash and some of that shit's unreal, isn't it?
No, I mean, like,
I keep looking it up, mate, thinking you've had some scandal. There's nothing even going on. I keep trying to find what they're getting mad at. I've never seen a fucking clip.
The thing that like, basically this is part of the rotation now. Like whenever E-League does a new game and I'm involved, there's like 3 days afterwards where that community says I shouldn't have been involved.
It's always with every new fighting game.
Yeah. Well, not just with every game, honestly. And basically what it revolves around is the spectrum is this. The lightest criticism is I shouldn't be allowed to be a host because I shouldn't commentate on the games that I don't play or understand.
Sure, the old one, classic.
Understand the difference between hosting and commentary, which, you know, is fine. That's just a level of stupidity. And then it goes right the way to... This guy has attacked people in the past. I mean, of course, it was an act of self-defense. It wasn't aggressive. Like everything I do, it's if people come to me first, you get as good as. I judo you. I meet you with your same fucking energy. You want to knock me the fuck out? Yeah. Better do it in one or you're getting one back. That's life. That's how I've been raised. I'm too old in the fucking game now to fucking change that philosophy. Maybe don't come and attack me over a fucking misunderstanding about something you saw on the internet. So there's that criticism because obviously whenever they Google it, I should be punished all over again. That's the reality, even though I already was penalized for that by not being able to work DreamHack events. Not banned from DreamHack events, of course. Have attended DreamHack events since, but we'll spread that lie. And then, of course, the other thing is the 6 months I spent at Breitbart defines my entire political ideology. I am indeed a racist and a bigot and a homophobe because of that.
Never understood the logic of that. I mean, here's the thing. If this is how you know that either... Here's the thing. I in a mad way... I can't really say this straight face. I don't totally blame people who just don't know any of the facts. Yeah, they don't know the facts, so they're an idiot, and they just believe what someone said, right? Okay. But the people who actually do, you know, the people who actually have read Breitbart, and they're like, it's all racist, etc. Have you ever heard of Ben Shapiro? He literally, I think it was the ADL, literally said he was the person who'd received the most anti-Semitic hate on the internet like a year ago or something. He was the editor of the fucking site at one point in time, or one of the high-up people. So in no sense does writing for Breitbart instantly make you racist. I've got a really easy sort of razor for people to use to figure out who the racists are. Maybe find something they wrote on Breitbart that's racist. That would be a pretty good fucking metric, wouldn't it? As though the whole site's just racist now. What an utterly ludicrous notion.
No, I mean, that's what I mean. It's like, and then some people have even, I've got to the mythological stage now where people are manufacturing things. Like somebody accused me of having, while doing commentary, which I've never done in any fighting game, while doing commentary, I racially abused the Japanese, apparently, according to some tweets now. So it's just absolutely fucking ludicrous. And the way I comfort myself is this. Like, I look at the anonymous sad losers with their fucking cartoon avatars on the internet, sad failures that basically don't get to do any of the cool shit I get to do after 15 years of work. Like, literally, I can walk away from fucking jobs they'll never have. So,
by the way, I have to say as well, what's funny is this sounds like something that we're just saying to justify ourselves, but I have to say, from my own experience of seeing those sorts of people, 99% of it is just the scenario of they just wish they did it themselves.
Yeah,
like, most of the people were like, you got
they,
that
they wish they did it themselves.
Yeah.
They wish they did it themselves, or they wish somebody else had done it instead of me. That's
or
what
someone
justifies,
they like better, yeah.
That's what justifies the smear campaign. Yeah, what's really bizarre, of course, is all these people who work with me, and again, think about it. If I was any of the things that people were saying, surely someone would just throw me under the bus by now. Who the fuck would defend a racist, homophobic bigot in the esports space, especially working in the FGC, one of the most diverse communities where I know absolutely nobody, right? So obviously I'm coming in as a stranger. They're judging me on gut feeling, instant reaction. Why are they all coming out and defending me and saying it's absurd? It's bizarre, isn't it? It's almost as if it was just diseased brains making this stuff up.
I've always thought that's the weirdest thing, though, Rich, is like, this is the part that goes the most against that argument. Because, you know, people always will let, like, these sorts of people, by the way, you can tell they're deranged because they always have, like, ridiculously conspiratorial, like, ways of thinking. So, for example, they'll always think, like, so, for example, let's say a feminist thinks that I'm sexist. They'll use some weird logic that, like, you know, because I've got too much power and status, that like, I'm like some fucking Harvey Weinstein, you know, I'm too big to fail, and so that I'm being propped up and protected by the industry. No, in the current climate, this would be the ideal time where everyone who doesn't like me, and obviously there's plenty of people who don't like us, would be able to completely cast us out of the esports industry if there was any evidence for the stuff they were saying, especially if there was stuff behind the camera that no one knew about, you know. This is exactly when they could all rally around, make a good push in it, which is how politics works, and get you kicked out of the industry and basically suffer no repercussions. Because in the current climate, if you can really show someone's racist, sexist, you'll have them done forever. So the notion that never happens, it says a lot in itself, right? The absence of that movement.
Yeah. So it is obviously patently ridiculous. But again, it's now factored into my job that after I complete something successfully and have done a good job and ran about the time period where, you know, like, for example, we had Cuddlecore, a really good female Tekken player, win the tournament, captain a team at the tournament. And she did a lot of the heavy lifting.
Not a word from Nathan Grayson on that one. Bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird.
Like,
it's
stories, does he?
Bitching about my fictitious bigotry is taken front and center instead of giving her the spotlight she deserves. That's what I mean about the ludicrous absurdity of it all. But anyway, so I just have to factor in 3 days. Where I literally have to just, okay, well, you're just going to be smeared for 3 days. Keep in mind, of course, as well, I'm the bully when I retweet it or address it or respond to it in any way. Not the anonymous mob being propped up by multiple journalists and everything else. They have no institutional power. Me as one person apparently holds all the cards on this one. It is absolute fucking nonsense. Like I say, I just console myself that when they stop and they go back to their sad, sad lives, where they're, you know, just insecurity, underachievement, you know, just a cycle of failure in every area, I'm still absolutely balling out of fucking control. Must suck. I can't even imagine. You know, I guess maybe there was a brief period in my life where I was that pathetic, but then I just got my shit together and fucking got to the top of my field. Maybe one of you fucking losers could try it. Anyway.
Plus, I have to say, by the way, the people who are like vaguely involved in the industry, some of them just don't even know the basic rules of like, you know, the very basic rules of the playground if you're in a fight. You don't start a fight which you can't end and then think like life's just going to be cool for the rest of your time at school. Well, no, that's definitely going to come back to haunt you later. So the people who are actually involved in the industry who do this stuff, you have to kill the person. You have to literally end them completely, because if you leave them and they're still really powerful, which you claim is the situation, that might cause you problems down the line when you perhaps want to get bigger yourself or move into another area in esports. They never think that through, do they? In fact, that's something I've noticed, Rich, as a general point. That's one last thing I want to say on this topic.
Yeah, do it.
I've noticed these people actually, maybe this is how they get into this situation. They don't seem to understand basic cause and effect. Like, what they literally think is that when they say something outrageous and then something horrible happens, they don't think there's a connection between the two. And they just think, oh, I'm just being persecuted for no reason. And you go, what about that stuff? He said, no, what do you mean? It's like, so as a result, they never realize that, like, the digging their own grave on these ones, you know.
No, but they want the deck absolutely rigged. This is the state of social media etiquette these days, right? Like, I have achieved nothing, so I have no followers. No one cares about my opinion. Therefore, I can say whatever the fuck I want, and you can't hold me accountable. They genuinely believe that. They think because they've got, I've got more followers than them, if I respond to a lie that they have told about me in a public forum, I am weaponizing my fan base. I am bullying them. I am the aggressor. How about this for an idea? If you don't like my work, just hold the fucking L, because I've still got the job, and all your crying and fucking pathetic behavior is never going to take that away. I've said, Richard, I decide. I fucking decide, as long as I'm involved in esports and what esports I'm involved in. Not you. It's not reality television. You don't get to fucking vote me off because you don't like the cut of my jib. You can stay at home, stay mad about it, be tweeting about me all fucking day. It's meaningless. It's a waste of your fucking energy. It will be like every other thing in your life. It will achieve nothing, right? But they can't handle that. They just cannot handle the fact that, like, look, I've got a following. Why? People care about my opinion. I don't know why they do. I don't know why, but I've grinded away for fucking 15 years to have that. I didn't just wake up and had a fucking, mob at my disposal, as they would put it. But apparently I'm supposed to ignore them. They're allowed in their hundreds as a little clique, a little group, to tell all the lies, say all the ridiculous shit, be hostile, be aggressive. And if you retweet it, well, you're the one crossing the line, sir. Well, nah, listen, I don't give a fuck. If you need to kind of try and rig the deck that much, right, like to just justify your bullshit behavior, well, fuck it. You have got a mental problem. I mean, it's beyond a joke at this point. But look, talking about reality television, let's talk about fucking gamers with a Z, because it's so fucking cool. Now, Gamers, for those of you who don't know, was a CS-based reality show set in Sweden. Well, what they did was, the idea was they had, like, teams come in, two amateur teams or unknown players or up-and-coming players, right? And they would square off against each other. And basically, the winners would go on to be a professional team. They would get salaries, contracts, and they would be allowed to, represent an organization of gamers' denomination. Now, we already had one season of it, and it went relatively well. I remember being asked if I wanted to do it. I said that no, it was a scheduling conflict. But they did attract some big names to it. You know, for example, Semler was involved. Obviously, he was living out in Sweden at the time and doing CS at the time. There was some other names involved.
Spawn,
those guys were in. Yeah, Spawn was involved. So basically, this had some very big names attached to it. And the first season went by pretty well. It had some hilarious moments. Like, one of the clips I've always laughed at is that absolutely cringeworthy, excruciating clip from, what was the name of the player when the interviewer said,
I forget what his name is, but it's the one who was like, yeah, bitch, or something.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it also issued literal racial slurs.
Yeah, absolute fucking not ready for the spotlight by any stretch of imagination, that cunt. But yeah, but anyway, he got interviewed by a woman on stage, right? And they said, so is there any team here that you're afraid of? And he went, No one, bitch, in this like ridiculous way, right?
Like some mad South Park episode.
Yeah, it was like, why is this happening? But then, like, the interviewer, she was straight fire. She followed up, went, yeah, but you've lost to every other team here. And then it was just like, you know, I've got to find the fucking clip, man. Like, honestly, Sam, see if you can find it. Just type no one bitch in fucking CSGO. You'll fucking find it. It's such a joke. But anyway, so it had like some ridiculous. You got it. Do you want to stick it in the chat and we'll 3-2-1 it so people can see how ridiculous this is? All right, so.
You're in the finals as well.
Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
All eyes watching. No one, bitch.
No, it's really, really bad. It's really bad. So anyway, let's do it. Right, you ready?
You know, we can tie that in again, Rich, because here's the thing. Yeah. I have found not just people who say shit on the internet, but especially people who criticize on-camera talent. That's the problem, isn't it? They'll never actually be in that scenario to realize how badly it could go. Like, everyone who thinks, right, that my jokes is shit when I say I'm on desk. By the way, some of them are. Obviously, not all of them can land. Sometimes you're just not funny. You're not on rhythm, right? But what they don't realize is, if you really did just go on there and just say absolutely anything, you'd get so many moments like that that'd be like so cringe, like no one would fucking enjoy it. It's actually, there's a skill to it, no matter how shit you think they are. Like even the most tier 3 talent has some talent, believe it or not. Actually has something compelling about them, something charismatic. Because I tell you what, loads of the people that I've seen, who, you know, the other sort of like, well, actually, I'm on the train in 19, like, those people, if they ever came on camera, it would be death. I don't care if the stats were even correct, you know. It would be over for them. It'd be like this, but worse. Yeah. That guy, at least, was even funny when he did it. It'd be even worse. When they did it, it would just be like crickets, wouldn't it? Like, right. I could actually just fucking open my window where I am, but anyway.
Okay, come on then.
I don't know why am I doing that, yeah.
Right. You ready?
Three, two, one, go.
Yeah.
Okay, well, which one of the other players on the other team would you say are your biggest competition in this game?
No one, bitch.
Well, you have lost 3 matches in a row, so that kind of makes you the underdogs in this game, right?
Yeah, we were only like warming up until now. So yeah, this is the day we will show our potential.
Okay.
He's dropped that I weren't even trying the entire time.
Like, I'll actually tell you some detail as well. I believe at the time, I remember when this clip came out, someone said something along the lines of like, I don't know if this is correct, like that he was like that's like an in-joke, it references something. So apparently, supposedly, he wasn't literally calling that woman a bitch, because that's the dumbest part about it, isn't it? Like, it just sounds like he's straight disrespecting her to her face.
Yeah, no, it's so fucking stupid.
And the maddest part is, he's fucking in Sweden. Have you had a look around where you are? That's like going into fucking the Amazon's place and like wonder why, like, what up, bitch? Why would you do that? You know?
It's so insane.
It was entertaining though, I'll give you that. It was entertaining.
Yeah, for all the fucking wrong reasons. So anyway, gamers definitely had some fucking moments, no doubt about it, and it did contribute significantly to the Counter-Strike landscape for the memes. But actually, when it boiled down to it, it turned out that none of the people that took part in it, none of the players, rather, that won the tournament got any of the shit they were supposed to get. So the first thing was, we were meant to get 6 months' salaries within an organization. There wasn't an organization that was going to take them on. Then they didn't get the 6 months' contracts. They didn't materialize. So then gamers said, okay, that's just a bit of a faux pas. What we'll do is...
logic, because remember, that's the entire
premise of the show.
If the show was real, think about how every reality show works, Rich. That's one of those like talent ones. The whole point about the work in the UK is it's actually just some cynical fucking farm to make you care about some talent. So you're like a pop star before they've ever released a single. So what's mental is, by the same logic, you should want to cheer for these guys in their real pro career, which they never had because they never delivered on it. Like, what even is the premise of the show anymore?
It is ridiculous. It's basically like, as well, you know, like when Big Brother was like, oh, you'll get your own TV. The early series, it was like, you get your own TV show, you get to do this, you get to do that. Just imagine if they turn around and said, well, yeah, we're not giving you any of that, but we will give you a financial reimbursement for the shit we promised you. It's just not really as exciting all of a sudden. So anyway, they said, we will give you about $12,1200, which was representative of each, which is representative of the 6 months' salaries they would have got if they'd been professional players. Now listen, at the time, I had people from the show reaching out to me saying that they were even trying to get the guys to sign different contracts. So what happened was, they'd signed a contract that promised them this, and then they tried to get them to sign something else that promised them something far less. And they showed me both contracts, and I was like, listen, dudes, if you sign these fucking updated contracts, you're out of your motherfucking minds. Hold firm.
I will say, fair play, they are giving them a real sort of crash course on the esports industry, aren't they?
yeah, exactly. So basically, anyway, they said, all right, fuck it, we'll take the money. You know, it's a shame, but we're not going to hold firm on the things that you obviously can't deliver at this point. The money will do. Well, the promised sum, as of now, hasn't been delivered to them. And season two is here and has already started. So it seems to me fairly ridiculous that, I don't know, like, there's not many fucking tournaments that have the nerve to sort of not pay out the money and then, here's the other one, sign up for this. So it's very interesting that they're kind of like just going ahead as if nothing is happening, because obviously the cat is very much out the bag. I'll direct people to a report over on Flickshot which is the with the French journalist. Yeah,
because there was also some other stuff in that that was really dodgy. Like, first of all, this is a side detail because I don't know if this is actually relevant, but he did mention it, and I looked it up, and it's correct. For some bizarre reason, okay, so they had Brolan in, who I believe is like the guy who they used in Fnatic actually for that WESG thing, and they cited him as being like 17 or something, but you look now, he is 15 years old. I don't know why that's relevant, because that implies to me, by the way, maybe it's even illegal in Sweden to have a 15-year-old take part in something. I would suspect something like that. So that in itself is shady as fuck. Then there's that whole aspect, which I haven't corroborated, and this guy I've actually done an interview with, Inns, one of the coaches of the team, and all got into being an agent after that and set up this agency. Well, there was a really dodgy detail in that report where it implied that, like, you sort of, by coming on the show, somehow you are now, basically, they are your agents.
They represent you now,
future earnings of yours, even. So, but I would just say this, by the way. If you're in any way involved with this show, and you're not actually a criminal or a scumbag who's trying to rip people off, I would immediately make that very clear publicly and explain all the details from your end, be as transparent as possible, because otherwise, I'm just going to assume you are.
Yeah, I mean, look. So I'll go one further, and I'll like I say, I'm 2018 is the year where I don't give a fuck anymore. I've decided. I had a couple of years of corporate version of Richard. I can't do it anymore. I'm done. So listen, they can sue me if they disagree with this. It looks to me like the whole fucking thing was set up as a scam to bring young talent in. And then there was never any intention. They couldn't possibly deliver the things that they wanted. Maybe they could have if they had found orgs that wanted to bring them in, right? That was the agency element to it. But nobody did because these are unknown players. And right now,
not as ridiculous as you think. Like, no. If for some reason, you know, they'd found talent and they'd look good on camera, I could see there being some org being like, well, that's, you know, it's a very, very low level player. Maybe we'll give you a shot.
But this was clearly a fucking subterfuge. This was like Bovine University, if anyone remembers that in The Simpsons. It looks like the cows are going to school, but they ain't. They're getting the fucking nail gun straight to the temple because these kids are being brought in under the guise of a competition and the promise of a pro lifestyle, and they end up in a fucking agency that A, doesn't get them a fucking job, B, doesn't put them into a team, and then C seems to be having some sort of crazy fucked up design on future earnings should they manage to get themselves out of this ridiculous predicament. I haven't seen many things this fucking predatory, and when you start lying about players' age on the broadcast to kind of make it look above board, when people who were participating were 14 years old and you were pretending they were fucking 18, have a fucking word. This is fucking rotten. This stinks to high heaven. Now, like I say, if you got nothing to fucking hide and it's all legit and it's all above board, just take me to court because I say y'all a bunch of corrupt motherfuckers. Fact. Like, I'm there's no way that is all legit. No fucking way whatsoever. So I've got some real issues with this gamer stuff. The name of the talent agency was Overlord. There was something like this.
Not in any way an association you wouldn't want. If you were, in fact, trying to just run the whole industry and run game on a motherfucker. We, for one, welcome our new overlords who own our souls. I love that aspect, though, where it's like, sorry, guys, we couldn't get you into the teams. All right, so what are you going to do for me then? Nothing. Yeah. All right, that's the end of our association. No, if somehow you managed to get yourself a new team, you owe me everything. What?
So legit, I want to know what the fuck is going on here. The fact that it's gone to a second season means that this is an ongoing problem and it needs to be fucking looked at. And all the people who are involved in it need to come the fuck out and start putting their cards on the table to what fucking degree they knew about this bullshit. Because this looks like it's a means to rope young, unsigned talent in the... that's out there in the scene into a talent agency. It's fucking very, very sinister indeed. I've been pulling some strands together. I'm going to do some interviews and I'm going to put my own report out about it down the road, whenever that'll be, whenever I have time. But for now, I think, honestly, this isn't the kind of shit we should be supporting in Counter-Strike whatsoever. There's a lot of fucking stuff that's stacked against young players in the scene. And the idea of hey, you're in a fucking talent agency now. Like I say, Overlord is the name of Inns' talent agency. There's another one as well called GZE, Gaming Zone Entertainment. So I don't know. The whole thing's a clusterfuck, but it stinks. So that's gamers.
Oh, yeah. There's one other thing on that as well, which is like, this is a good example of why it might seem like, okay, here's something I already know, Rich, is like a misunderstanding that a lot of like newer fans will have when they see the way that people like me or you or Scoots or Red Eye, people who are considered established community figures who generally say what they think, you know, a lot of people think that we just pull sort of like we were around before everyone else card on everyone and that we're being arseholes to new people who come in the scene. And what'll happen is you get these new people who come in the scene and we're always like, hey, we love esports and we're really enthusiastic and we want to do great things. And then it sounds like we're being arseholes by being like, well, who are you? And what's your mission statement? And can you prove any of the things you say? And people think we're just trying to be like big shots and be like, hey, we were here before. Also, kiss the ring, you know, you got to bow before the Godfathers. It's not at all. What happens is there are tons of people like this who have some very, very low level of competence. Like they could make a TV show or they could put on a small tournament or they could be part of a small governing body. And what they think is, oh, this is something that's getting a bit big. I tell you what, I could probably cash in there. And then here's the thing. Some of them might even naively think, and if it somehow worked out well, yeah, maybe it could go somewhere. But in the short term, best believe they're all going to get paid in the short term, and they're going to get paid from day one. They're not putting any skin in the game in terms of like, I'm going to invest a few years and see what's going on. No, they want to get paid. And so those people, their whole plan is to exploit the fact that esports to them is a fad, by the way. They think it's just a little thing that's blown up now. And in fact, I would bet even if these people at gamers are ripoffs, the whole reason why they're not worried is they're thinking in 10 years, who the fuck's going to know about some Counter-Strike tournament I did 10 years? That's not even going to be around, is it? So unfortunately, these people can be even more predatory than even the worst person you think of who's an established esports figure. They have no, they are not held accountable in any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, and here's the other thing as well. That GZE talent agency that they were fucking siphoned into.
Sounds like a fucking hip-hop label, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, according to JW's brother, Linus, he fucking didn't... They didn't even get the 6 months. They got 2.5 months of the salary, and then they cut them. So, so this definitely needs to be fucking looked at. And at the moment, no one's made a big song and dance about it. Because this is the other element to it, right? That, first of all... I'm with you. Minimum level of competence. These guys had an idea. They thought they could take it over the fucking finish line. But I guarantee there was a lot of money where they, and a lot of elements where they were hoping, like, fuck it, we'll spend it now and we'll get it back later. And then the sponsors don't materialize. Sure. Yeah. And then the business arrangements don't materialize. And no other TV
like
fucking
people wouldn't realize channel how wants many to syndicate people. It. Because let's face it, there's a lot of people who own teams and stuff who are like this. There are so many people in the world who are chancers and will literally, like, essentially put everything in now, knowing that they can fail themselves on the off chance that sort of like, I'll make the money I need to pay the other guy afterwards and then it'll all be okay. That sort of like ridiculous, small-minded, like, hustler mentality, but in a negative sense, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's absolutely ludicrous. So like I said, I think it's utter bullshit what's been going on, you know, nobody seems, no pro player so far has shouted up about it. And this is the brother of an existing pro player. Yeah. It makes you wonder. It does
make
you fucking wonder.
That's why I get so mad as well, Rich, when players themselves like talk about, oh, the corruption and stuff. It's like, where are you now? Where are all you Swedish pros that are in this balls deep in the scene? Must know these players even. Must even know some of the people involved in the show. Keep it nice and quiet. All I'll say as well is, here's the thing, I don't want a clip being made that can record, so I won't say the name, but there's an album that came out, Straight Fire Hip Hop album, by the way. It came out in 2000 by the band The Lox, which has Janakis in it. It was called We Are The Streets, and there's a track, it's track 10, and it's one of those skit ones. You know where they do, I don't know why rappers thought this was cool, I assume they just high all the time. You know where they do like those skits, those funny skits, like, haha, look, I'm doing my comedy effect. There's one that's about a guy who's sort of like, you know, the head of a label, and he's like signing all these people. Just go check it out. Track 10, and it'll exactly describe what I assume is going on with this gamer scenario. Straight fire.
Redman used to do that too much, dog. It was like,
some of them just go too far. That's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Half your album is fucking skits now, dude. Like, what the fuck?
That's also another question I have. A lot of them are think that, like, it was like, you know, when you get to the end of an essay and it's like, it must be 4,000 words, and yours is like 2.5. And you're like, right, put the font up. Send, I've made them all pages. And then you're just thinking, what can I put in? And they're just going, fuck, this is only like 29 minutes, dog. We promised them 45. It's like, get the boys back in. Yeah. Let's get going. Let's get some skits.
Yo, Redman, we'll talk about chicken heads. Like, it's too much, dog. So So anyway, like, yeah. But here's the thing. Same pros, right, that talk about fucking, let's make, you know, oh, tournament organizers doing this. Like, I've seen pros in the last year complain about having to fucking wear, not being allowed to wear a hat. You know, oh, the i7s aren't good enough. You know, like, well, we're only getting 300 FPS. I've seen some fucking whack-ass complaints, like, where people are talking about how bad their events are. There's an organization out there straight ripping off the fucking next generation of player. Any of you want to fucking pipe up? Anyone at all? Nah. Just let me wear my motherfucking hat, right? So there's that.
Ironically, anyways. Pipe up could be the name of a Redman skit, perhaps, on GZ Entertainment or whatever, on their label.
Pretty sure it fucking was, dude. All right, so what else did we have? Yeah, this was an interesting thing we want to talk about before we start breaking down IEM Katowice. The Star Ladder product manager says that we hope that the CIS region will get the major that it deserves. Now, obviously, we talked on the last edition of the podcast where we talked about how, face it, we're going to be the next host of the major. CS was coming to London. We were all talking about that and talking about how good it is that the UK, which sure has played no real part in CSGO history, but over the years in Counter-Strike, certainly made its mark and produced a lot of the talent that we sort of know and love in the Counter-Strike scene, is going to get to sort of, you know, be recognized as having made that contribution. But certainly, when I read this interview, you know, it is hard in my mind to argue that the CIS region doesn't deserve a major. Now, of course, I know where you're going to go immediately. The idea of deserve is a bit of a bullshit concept in these things anyway. But, you know, I look at some of the best events. I mean, you've worked Star Ladders. I'm trying to think of what other events have you worked?
I haven't done Epicenter. That one I haven't.
You haven't done Epicenter.
Done Star Ladder. I mean, it depends. Obviously, CIS region technically only involves those like ex-Soviet countries, so you shouldn't actually count PGL and other ones like that. But obviously, yeah, sure. Yeah, done a whole bunch of Star Ladders over the years.
Yeah, and you know, and I remember watching the Epicenter of events. You know, great stage show, great lighting.
One of the best, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt, right? Like, it even went a bit fucking wild, in my opinion, where they had like mock terrorists coming down fucking ropes and shooting at each other and shit. It was a bit much for me, but fair dues. You know, they put on a good fucking show, and clearly there's a lot of money in the region. I ain't going to say nothing more before I get the fucking the steel jacket. But, you know, there's a lot of money in the region, a lot of competent people in the region. I'm certainly open to it, and I'm inclined to agree with the sentiments of Sergey Bidzan. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. First of all, I don't necessarily think it's ridiculous to use the, like, deserved logic. Like, remember, this is another one of those areas which where one thing that always frustrates me is people who have a double standard. So traditionally, my perspective, which I would still choose as my number one perspective, is I'm a purist. So I think if you make the best bid and your tournament looks the most competent and looks like it will deliver the best major, you should get the major no matter who you are. And by the way, that includes if you're ESL, if you're DreamHack, it doesn't matter who you are, you should get the major. But I know that that is not politically how any of these things work. So in a world where we're not doing it based on that, I actually think it would be cool to give certain favors in that sense to people who have supported fucking CSGO. Without ESL through the AMS1 tournaments and without Star Ladder through the Star Ladder Star Series that they had in the early days, there would be no massive CSGO. Like, these were the biggest events of their day. Everyone who remembers NIP going 87-0, there's a reason they didn't go 89-0, because they lost in the upper bracket of Star Series Season 5, which was in, like, I think it was like April of 2013 or something. So these tournaments have played an integral part in the history of CSGO. And so while that alone shouldn't get you a major, the point is, it's not as though we're going into some region that just has no history whatsoever and there's no reason to. No, then go beyond that. They still run very competent tournaments now. They just had the Star Series Season 4, one of the best events of the year already. Very high level, willing to take chances with format. They've run all sorts of formats over there. I also noticed he did say, like, CIS deserves a major. So I actually think that's even cool in itself. This guy could easily say Star Ladder deserves it and then just say half the shit I just said. He's even said CIS region, as in, if it's not us, at least let Epicenter have it or something. You know, there's a bunch of companies out there in that area who'd run events. And here's the funny thing, Rich. I will say this to be real. There's a part of me would say, especially if this was a few years ago, you know what? Maybe don't hold an event there. Because personally, I think that, for example, the quality of the event should matter. So I think one day CSGO majors, I hope, will have people traveling internationally all over the world to go to these majors and go, you know, I want to go to the international, or I want to go to the League of Legends World Championship. So in CSGO, they go, I want to go to the major. And I would say in that sense, I think Valve should actually consider things like, what is the quality of the country you are visiting? How safe will it be? What will the... all the environmental things. So I know people already are thinking, ah, wait a minute, Thorin, are you referring to where you wrecked Poland? No, what I'm referring to is, yeah, I would say that as a result, for example, the USA would be one of the number one countries. So would Germany. So would other countries. Sweden, for example, obviously. These should be top of the list in that sense. But since y'all motherfuckers watching this show right now and who actually decide things in esports are going to tell me all day long that Poland's some fucking amazing country thanks to IEM Katowice right now, don't you ever dare imply that Ukraine or Russia or one of the capital cities in Russia like St. Petersburg or fucking Moscow are in any way inferior, because you wouldn't want to be hypocrites, right, guys?
Yeah, definitely wouldn't. No, it's interesting, actually. I'll bring something up. I don't know if you remember this, but back when DreamHack did DreamHack Moscow, it came...
The StarCraft one, yes.
Yeah, it came round about the time when there was that border tension over the Crimea. And
okay, yes.
There was a lot of people... In fact, I did that event, but I didn't go to Moscow. A lot of talent did it from a studio in Sweden, yes, rather than actually go to Moscow because of the potential for issues. Like, we were all
given... even another scenario, Rich. I remember, for example, we had a star ladder. It was the one, it was in Fnatic's six tournament run that they had, where they were late 2015 and 2016. You might remember we did one in Belarus. Now, they have never, as far as I know, been back to Belarus since and had never been there before. And the only reason it was there is because people were worried about that whole scenario where there's like a potential civil war within Ukraine at the time, possibly spurred by Russia. That's why we didn't have the event in Kiev as we normally do. So, yeah, I can see where you're going with this. There's some dodgy things going on over there. But again, pretty hypocritical that some people are mentioning it. Meanwhile, they could have events in every other bloody country, can't we?
The objection was, if you run... And I remember DreamHack getting rammed for this. Unfortunately, Robert Oland's no longer there. He put out some interviews.
In many senses.
I still miss the motherfucker. He obviously was removed from DreamHack sort of shortly afterwards. But he put an interview out, which you can find on the Daily Dot, where what was happening was people were criticizing DreamHack for doing an event in Russia as if it was in some way a tacit... approval of Putin, right? So I'm
triggered, you know, Rich. Bear in mind, this is an esports industry that will accept any amount of money from Russia, from fucking China. As I've said, have events in countries, which, by the way, by the same logic, if I was a total piece of shit, I'd just write stories like, oh, so you are tacitly approving the denial of immigrants into Poland by having an event set. No, obviously I wouldn't do that, but that's the logic of these people, right?
Well, I remember getting absolutely fucking reamed out by the league community, because I wrote an article that when Riot Games had one of their finals where part of it was in Malaysia, where obviously it is illegal and an imprisonable offense to be a homosexual. I said, how can Riot Games ever talk about their support for gay rights and then host an event in a country that imprisons gay people? I think that is very logically consistent, by the way.
For sure,
I stand by that criticism.
Well, unless, Rich, you do this. As you said, the key detail there is that they voice those rights. So if they want to make themselves political and imply, as all these companies do, by the way, that they have we have company values, and not just have that be like a marketing thing, you know. We have company values and they inform everything we do. Well, now you have to be judged on your associations. Personally, I wouldn't do that. I'd just say, you know what? I run fucking video game tournaments and I'd like to have a good video game tournament. You know what? This country can host it. So as long as everything's fine, I'll host my video game tournament and maybe not ram my politics down everyone's throat.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, at the end of the day, like, you know, I still bad at Christmas. I got absolutely wrecked for it. Riot sort of just dismissed what I was saying. And then, bizarrely, I remember there being Reddit threads and stuff at the time, like, if you are gay, how not to get caught. So it's like, fucking brilliant. Hell. Yeah, don't hold hands with your boyfriends and all this nonsense. So I was absolutely livid about that, because I don't understand the duality of saying, you know, we support gay rights, but here's, by the way, would... to save some money, effectively, and to expand our product, we're going to host an event in a country that imprisons gay people. I don't like that. I wouldn't support events being held in that country or any country that had a similar law now to this day. But somehow, DreamHack got absolutely wrecked for holding one in Russia. And the criticisms were this: that first of all, it was you're supporting Putin, by having an event there, and you're effectively propping up his government. And the other thing was that, obviously, yes, there are gangs of people, you know, Putin and Russian law has also a terrible attitude towards homosexuals. They don't go to prison for it. So that was one of the criticisms. So it struck me as very odd, you know, that hypocrisy. But anyway, Robert Olin came out and said, DreamHack Moscow is for the Russian people that believe in esports and want to attend esports events. It is not for the government. It is not for business. We should not penalize those people over there because of things their government does, which I think is like a fairly reasonable way of framing things, you know? So, I think even though I know Russia is still, by some sections of the American political sphere, being called an enemy of America, I don't subscribe to that philosophy myself. I mean,
by that logic, all those Europeans shouldn't be doing any business with American companies, right? Yeah. I mean, they have no problem interfering in our elections, fucking with all of us, withholding information that literally allowed terrorist attacks in London. So by the same metric that Americans like to judge themselves by, we should just cut off all ties with America and have an esports boycott. Would be pretty unreasonable, though. Again, we do have talk about fucking video games. It's not really that serious, is it?
So you know, I hope that people realize, like I say, that first of all, these places are, you know, incredible countries with incredible people. They have just as passionate esports fans over there as anywhere you would find in the world. And not only that, the CIS region and Counter-Strike history, they have certainly contributed a huge chapter to it. I mean, not just in 1.6, you know, like literally, you
pretty
think about
every game.
Yeah, you think about the storylines we have now with Zeus winning with Gambit in CS:GO. This is a country whose fan base deserves. And you know, the most recent major with all those upcoming teams that surprised. Sure, it was because of the format, whatever. But you know, this is a region whose fans definitely deserve that sort of recognition. And I think start of next year, you know, 2019's major, I think it'd be great if we just fucking announced a CIS major. I'd be all for that. I think that would be fucking awesome.
Well, put it this way, Rich. At the very minimum, they can have one for sure. For fuck's sake, what, they can't have one ever? We're not saying it has to be there every year. Just one.
Yeah.
And then see how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. So I certainly hope that happens. And I agree with you. Like, there's some things that you should definitely take a stand on. But I think once you start, like, boiling things down to the minutia of we can't have it here and we can't have it there, and you're going to struggle to find a country that doesn't have some sort of thing you could extrapolate into a reason not to host an esports event there. And as you say, you know, we should just be about the video and nothing else. Final piece of news. Taz, we didn't know what he was going to do. Reports emerging. Also, I believe over at Flickshot, so the French journalist again, basically saying that he's going to make a team with Kingwin and sort of those second tier Polish players that never transitioned into replacing Virtus Pro. Taz is now going to come and be the captain of this new Kingwin team, the lineup comprising of Rallen, Maus, Taz, Manise, and Reitz. Now, looking at that roster, sure, it might not fucking leap off the page and make you think, well, you know, they're going to be a top 10 team. Probably is an unrealistic goal. But they've certainly got, like, in the form of Manise, Rallen, you know, look, I think they're all very good. Those are the two that would stand out to me as having a little bit more tenure. But I've watched Maus play and think he's had some pretty sick games. Reitz, I've seen, he's had some good moments. So it's not like this is a terrible team. And what's interesting is conceivably, I could honestly see this team giving the current Virtus Pro actually a run for its money, you know, a hell of a game, because we all know Neo's fucking done. Snax is off the charts bad. They're still trying to bed in Mihu. So, I don't know. Maybe this is a team that could go on to be the best team in Poland. What do you think?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. First of all, I like the fact that the lineup is basically like a bunch of different players that have been in different teams. That's cool in itself. So it's not like he's just joining whatever, whichever you choose, a Go or Pride or whatever team you thought was the next best Polish team. They're making a team that actually, you know, they're picking out players. And then also, yeah, I agree. There is some talent in this team. Some of these players have shown some ability. Again, as I reference every time we talked about Virtus Pro, it's hard to judge these players because none of them have ever been in any way associated with a already established legendary Polish pro. Every single person you can name from North America, from Sweden, from Denmark, made their way up through some team or into a team that had a legendary in-game leader, amazing world superstar. These guys have never been in that position. So I don't necessarily 100% write them off. Because yes, I know on paper you're going to see Rallen and Renice and you're going to go, come on, man, I've seen these guys for years. They were at majors like 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah, but that's my point. They've never actually been, essentially, the harshest way to put it is they've never played real Counter-Strike. They've just been playing off in their little scene where you keep making teams and they never get access to the top Polish players and all that experience and get proper, like, someone working with them as a proper tactical in-game leader and all that sort of thing. So I'll say, I actually think for Taz especially, first of all, I love this move. I'm so glad he's not just going to go and fucking retire and be a personality or whatever. Because I don't think you necessarily need to. I mean, you can do that in 2 years if you want to now, mate. Right? For now, you can still get paid. And more importantly, now let's see what you can do. Because as I've referenced before, Taz is one of those guys who actually, in CSGO especially, one of the things he did pride himself on was, okay, you might not think I'm one of the best players, but that's because my role now is creating space for the other guys to be the best players. That's why Snacks and Bialy have come up in my team, because I'm playing that role. I'm now the veteran. I'm now the support player. I'm doing these things that's going to make that guy be allowed to be a superstar. So, okay, this is basically a real tough test, but it's a chance to show us that, you know, it's a chance to actually take some real talent and do that. Sadly, this is actually basically exactly what I had hoped a few years back when Existence went to LDLC would happen. Now, unfortunately, as we found out, first of all, there was no talent in that team. And secondly, any talent that there was had sort of already moved on. That is not the case in the Polish scene. That's what makes this move exciting for me, is that because Virtus Pro has already taken one player in, these are legit talents. Like, actually, if Taz turns out to be some good in-game leader who can do the things he's claimed, he could really do something with this team. This could be a team that actually goes somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, you know, I think if this flops, then yeah, definitely you should have one eye on the retirement and just turn up and do some desks and some personality stuff, start streaming, whatever the fuck. He'll make a fortune anyway. I mean, his paycheck's guaranteed because of who he is and what his skill set is. But yeah, definitely I would throw the dice for 6 months. And I think he's got himself in with a good bunch of Polish players who I think can definitely do something if he can sort of help mold them, give them that experience. And let's be clear, you know, like his motivation to... look, I'm sure he's not looking beyond anything other than being number one in Poland, whatever he says in the interviews. But like, he's going to have a fire in his belly because, like, you saw how brutal the fucking reaction to him being removed from the team was. Motherfuckers crawling out the woodwork with 10-year-old grievances, you know, saying Taz is a fucking piece of shit and all this. Like, yeah, at the end of the day, that would motivate me to fucking just be like, right, well, I'm going to get this team and I'm going to fucking stick it right up you. Fuck you.
Oh, by the way, here's another thing I thought was very interesting when you say that, Rich, that I hadn't thought of. Think how bizarre it is that we've had a mega long tenured player leave a team and what the fuck have any of his teammates said? Think back when Freiburg got kicked out in Nip and when some of these players get removed. The whole community outpouring, blah, blah, blah. Teammates, oh, I'm going to miss you. Love you, bro. Blah, blah, blah. I haven't heard anything from anyone Virtus Pro. I haven't even heard anything from Neo, mate. What's going on?
The only statements they actually put out pertaining to Taz leaving the team was over that fucking leaked scrim that went out where Snacks just said, I just want everyone to know I'm not really toxic. Well, no one gives a fuck about that. What about your teammate who's gone?
That makes it seem like, obviously we're using like inductive reasoning here, but it makes it seem like there was some beef there. Like, they're actually glad he's gone and they don't particularly like the guy.
Yeah, there's fucking mad levels of beef, like, obviously. And like I say, I mean, look, you know, maybe it's to do with the fucking Mercedes. Sure. Maybe it's to do with the preferential treatment he got from the org.
Could even be legitimate shit we don't know about.
Maybe exactly.
Some massive money with someone you know.
Maybe he is a fucking asshole behind the scene. But here's the thing. You're telling me what? Like, Freiburg never did anything bad ever in his 4-year tenure in NIP. You're telling me there was never times where, like, Freiburg fucking, like, lost his rag and fucking went in on somebody, you know what I mean?
Here's another thing, Rich, as well. The other classic move, no one esports, would be someone comes out and goes, actually, don't listen to that Luke guy. He's full of shit. We love Taz. Again, nothing. Just radio silence.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
By the way, speaking of which, if you're Taz, actually, you're right. He doesn't even have to do anything, this team. This team never has to go to a big LAN. But if they could beat VP in one LAN qualifier in Poland, every little 12-year-old moron who's still like, Kiyoshima was not the problem, they're going to go ham with that one, mate. They're going to be all over this shit.
Yeah, believe it, dog. So I mean, like, look, the way I think about it is this: that you know, like, there should have definitely been some sort of like fucking respectful. You know, there should have been something put out there for Taz. Like, legit. I think. Didn't you put a video out about him? I think that's as good as it got for him, right?
I mean, I did a video when he moved, but here's the thing. I think the timing's a bit off with it. It's that a week before, I think it was, I'd done a video where it was like celebrating the old classic VP lineup. So in a way, sort of.
Yeah, so I mean, like...
Oh, no, I did an article, that's right. I did an article that was about his, like, warrior spirit or some shit.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, fucking, it seems insane to me that, like I say, every time a player leaves, like, an organization, like, look, even fucking Kobe and Shaq can fucking sit down in a room now and fucking talk to each other and talk about the good times and how, yeah, maybe the beef was a bit silly, but, like, you know, fuck me, we had a hell of a team, right? We won them rings, right? You know what I mean? Like, it blows my mind that, like, and here's the thing. If it was over preferential treatment by VP, why hasn't VP done something? Where's the VP documentary about Taz, fearless leader, rest in peace? Literally, no one gave a fuck. He left, and everyone was just like, right, that's over now. Like,
it's mad, isn't it?
So bonkers, man. So anyway, one other quick thing, because I nearly forgot about this, and I know it'll be right up your fucking street. Danish in-game leading. So there was an interview on German website, 99damage.de, right? And Magisk boy, you know, the big surprise fucking moved to Astralis, left Optic Gaming, obviously played with the two in-game leaders right now in Denmark at the top level, MSL and Glaive. Well, he did an interview, and the interviewer asked them, you know, what's it like? What's the difference in style? And you can see the headline is Glaive's in-game leading is a lot better than MSL's. So they've took that as a little clip. I'll give the expansive answer because I know how headlines can be misleading. And he says, of course, there are certain similarities, but Glaive's in-game leading is generally much better, at least from what I've experienced so far. At MSL's team, it was partly thought that he had called things because he thought they could fit. In many of these situations, it was very obvious in retrospect he was making the wrong choices. Nevertheless, he is a good in-game leader, otherwise he would not have been in the scene for so long. For me personally, however, Glaive has proven he is the better leader, also a better player individually. For MSL, I would say that he should work on being a better player individually, especially if he wants to keep playing in the future. So what do you think of that? That's pretty fucking raw, dog. Like, fucking it see is. Ya.
First of all, I obviously do enjoy, like, a bit of shit talking, bit of bad. I will say all that up front. But let's just put a few home truths out there. All right, Magus, since apparently you also have taken the MSL pledge to only speak the truth, let's just go ahead and point out that, first of all, when MSL would call those strats and, you know, he thought they would fit and they just didn't, you're a big part of why, you daft little cunt. You were a 0.6 FPR player who was just getting all the spots and doing nothing with it. You being unable to do that little circle spray onto someone with an M4, that's a big reason why. You know what happens when Glaive calls a strat, don't you? Fucking Dupree just kills the guy, doesn't he? He doesn't have to go, excuse me, Dupree, can you kill motherfuckers with a gun, which is the only thing you can do, since I'm the brains. I'm fucking Freddy and whatever it was, Dream Warriors, I'm the brains and you're the brawn.
Yeah, well, it's Freddy 3, yeah, good.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, not bad. Got nailed it. So in that scenario, like, come on. And then you've got to add in, no sour grapes there then, is it? You only booted your ass out. So you had to go crawling on your hands and knees to get some of that fucking green wall money, eh, motherfucker? Meanwhile, you would have been, if Glaive hadn't literally, like, fucking Jesus reaching down to a leper, pulled you out of Optic because he had no options left. If he hadn't have done that, you'd be fucking nowhere right now, mate. You'd be still in NA.
Do that. You can't drop Jesus reaching down to a leper on me. Holy shit. You're
I'm
out
just
of
saying, Magus, if you like a bit of the old trash talk, you got to take it, you know. So.
Fucking hell.
But I will say, with all that said, Glaive probably is a better in-game leader, to be fair.
Yeah.
I would assume as much. I do also probably agree with most of those criticisms of MSL. They do seem reasonable. I've always thought his biggest problem, this is a problem a lot of, like, really tactical in-game leaders suffer from, is that they're correct. On paper, the strat that they're calling is the right strat. It works. They practiced it. They know that this is the defense they're going against. You find this in fucking NFL with, like, really good quarterbacks, you know, just, like, mess the game up by throwing incomplete three times instead of doing, like, a simple play. They're right. The player that they're calling is the one that should be open and should work. But you know what? Your team, for whatever reason, can't execute it in the game. So you've got to, in a mad way, humble yourself and go, I'll throw the easy play instead, you know. But MSL goes for that deep ball all day long, doesn't he?
So there you go. It turns out, in Duncan's opinion, the leper was right.
No, just because you're living off fucking Glaive's power.
Right. Let's talk about Katowice. An event you weren't at. Great format, though. We liked this one, didn't we?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Yes. Obviously, it was
a massive improvement over the last Diet format. Well, I think here's the thing. At the moment, since people are trying all these new formats, I think we've got to do what we did with the Swiss system, what we didn't do with the Swiss system, rather, which a bit before we crown like one of the best format, because we've got to figure out what the negatives are and what the repeating factors that are good and bad. But on the surface, another good format. Like, I think this year's already begun fucking great, mate. You've had all these tournaments that have had really strong formats where you play loads of games, loads of opponents. Obviously, a factor in this one, which just like the Swiss system was possible, is you can play a best of three against the same opponent twice, which is obviously going to become very relevant when we get to the final, isn't it?
Yeah, so I mean, like, it was, and I watched, I was getting up and watching all the games. This was one of the ones where it was like, there were so many straight fire teams here and straight fire potential matchups. I was like, fuck it, I'm going deep, you know. I'm getting up at 4 a.m. We obviously were filming some shit at E-League, but I was waking up and watching all of this shit. Had to do it. So let's just pick up on some of the fucking storylines from the event. I think... like, I don't want to do another show where we bang on VP. I can't be arsed. It's not worth it. Yeah, there isn't. Like, did anyone expect anything better at this point? I know I didn't.
I mean, I will just say, just because I'm an arsehole, if you're one of these people who actually believes in A, the concept of home crowds helping teams, and B, that Katowice is some magical crowd of people who is unlike crowds, for example, in Auckland or Cologne, with some special power to inspire people, then you're basically saying Virtus Pro is even shitter than we thought.
Yeah, I mean, like, straight up, though, I mean, this is probably the one area where you would fucking expect now, like, the organization's got to, because, like, don't get me wrong, I saw some of the crowd still chatting.
Well, remember, they did actually say this, Rich.
Yeah.
They did say in the post saying Mihu joined that I think they said he joined on trial and that it was these two tournaments that would determine something like whether or not, you know, like they'd do another roster move. And I have to say, based on what I saw at these two tournaments, you should 100% be cutting another player at least from that team.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think even Pasha like tweeted something out about it, because didn't Virtus Pro win the Dota event that they had there?
Could have done. I know Invertus. I know the Dota team. Ironically, they actually have a player called Pasha in that team. Believe it or not.
Yeah,
he's
Good. They should get him in the fucking CS team. The way things are going at the moment. But yeah, so I was half watching the Dota shit as well, because I've been mad busy. I'm trying to keep up with all esports at the moment. But anyway, like, and Pasha tweeted something out saying now VP is only Dota or something, right? And like, just think about how mad it is. Like, as you as a team, like, you rewind a couple of years, you're winning events in Katowice. You know what I mean? You're fucking. It's a piece of CS history. Now you're finishing 13th to 16th. You're down there with Order, Avangar, and Tai Lu. Like, if that don't tell you something is fundamentally fucked, and, like, you know, for all the talk of, yeah, the home crowd really motivated us, didn't motivate you here, did it? So, like I said, I don't want to flog that fucking dead horse anymore, but it's just, I don't know. Fuck me. Like,
it's
someone's
also
gotta,
just getting depressing gotta seeing yeah, Pasha just do these charge, fucking man. Tweets. Like, come on, man. Like, no one's... Like, here's the thing, okay... If these are legit, like, you're really thinking of retiring or leaving, okay, fair play. If it's sincere, if it's earnest, but this just sounds like a cry for attention. Like, oh, please tell me I'm actually doing good and that, like, you guys all believe in me.
Fucking,
like, Crims on,
did it. Look what that motherfucker did at this tournament.
Like, that's
what I
mean? This is one reason, by the way, why I actually, this is a very weird reason, why I actually respect fucking Bialy in this team. Because if you know Bialy, he's just a G, mate. He doesn't give a fuck that the team did badly. He just goes, right, we did badly, okay. Just goes, get a drink and live his life, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, he's
he doesn't go, dear diary, my friend, I am sad now. Maybe I retire.
Yeah, and it's crazy because he gets.
He just loads up PUBG and gets fucking in.
Yeah, I was going to say, Like, did you see all them? You see all them comments on his fucking Steam profile? Kurva, PUBG, kurva. Like, fucking relax, dog. Like, people like to play other games. The idea, if you fucking train like 8 hours a day,
it's metal, isn't it?
Like, you know, sometimes on fucking. Alt accounts, so you play on tournament accounts, so people don't see that how many hours you've actually got in the game, and you're like,
well, you know, 99% of those mentally ill cunts really think, like, look, his account has no hours. Yeah, because you're watching his whole house. Like, he could never have another account, could he?
Could never have another account, and obviously they go to tournaments and they play on tour. So, like, sometimes there's so many tournaments that the tournament for one tournament is practice for another, you know, like that's the boot camp. And they never factor that in. And then it's like, ah, fucking hell, I've just had 8 hours of listening to Taz and fucking Snacks argue. I'll just load up some delicious PUBG or Fortnite, as is now the kid's choice. And then people are just straight wrecking you fucking for trying to unwind. It's fucking mental. I play a little bit of Hearthstone every day.
Topic. Oh, yeah. I actually did a video on that. It was about when people did it on Shroud when he was doing badly. Because this is the thing, as I said, I thought Shroud should have been cut. Like, that part's not wrong. But it's ridiculous to use the fact he was playing PUBG or whatever as the reason why. Like, I don't care who you are. Like, as a pro player, you are absolutely entitled in your time off to do whatever you want. And if you happen to want to stream, I mean, in Shroud's case, he was Bialy, isn't he? He's just playing his fucking private account. Like, why is he not allowed to do that?
Anyway, also, strange names down in 9th to 12th. So, G2, let's talk about them, right? Like, do we need to be harsh about what's going on over at G2 at the moment? Or do we need to sort of just, like, roll up and, like, put out the excuse train? Because I saw a lot of people talking about, oh, you know, like, you can't judge this team until Shox gets his wrist fixed, right? Like, when he gets his surgery, that's going to be the measure of the team. Straight up, I think that's fucking bullshit. I'm not feeling that at all. I think G2, there's something not right with them. You know, it's deeper than what they're talking about. They did, you know, they didn't really do much here. They beat Virtus Pro in a best of one, but it was close, which, again, that's free. Virtus Pro is a free win. You know, G2 should be just laughing at that.
Virtus Pro's freer than if you're at the front of that fucking queue to get an IEM can of eats every day and get counted 17 times walking in and out. Anyway, enough of that. I'm going to put a fucking tracking pixel on everyone who goes to IEM can of eats.
Right, we'll talk about the attendance next week. I don't want to ruin your holiday, mate. Right, you'll get a fucking ulcer. You'll get a fucking ulcer. Definitely put a pin in that. Right, it's and over. Then obviously they lost the series to Fnatic, who eventually won a tournament, but they did take a map. But then they also lost to NIP with a new team together. And again, there was there was one close map in it, but then they got blown out on in Inferno, which is a map that they, you know, have sort of posed as being able to play. And it's not that they're playing bad, it's not that they're getting wrecked, it's just that they're never really in it. Like, there's just always this moment where their opponents just seem to pull away, and I think they're out of shit. I think they're out of ideas. Like, they're constantly trying to reinvent the meta. Don't get me wrong, I think you should try new things. Like, they're forcing this Krieg stuff. Maybe it's gonna work, maybe it's gonna click. Seems to be very hit and miss. I just think they're out of ideas. I think you've got to say at this point now, this roster is a five, this supposed super team. It just isn't. It's absolute failure to launch. This is fucking Kenny S and Shox playing together for the first time in fucking Counter-Strike history. Everybody should be fucking fearing this team, and no one does. And they never really fucking do that much. They never catch my eye, and I think, wow, fucking hell, hate to play them. Yeah. They just never look that good. But I don't know what they would do. I honestly don't know what they could do.
And night of the day, which is half the problem right here. Like, here's the thing. From knowing the French scene for a long, long time, and I know all the little idiots out there are like, what do you mean you hate all the French scene and happy? Like, yeah, that's because you started following the game 2 years ago, mate. Like, if you actually knew what you were talking about, you'd know I've been deep with these guys for a long time. Actually friends with most of the players, you know, even the ones who maybe I didn't like their style of play. But the issue here is, they are one. I've always appreciated how ruthless that scene was, actually, and the fact that when things aren't going right, people like NBK, Shox, go far enough back existence, would step in and be like, we have to cut these players. They've made some cuts that were fucking insane.
Oh, brutal.
Nobody in the world would cut Kenny S and Shox. They've done it. These motherfuckers have done it. And the whole reason why was always, like, when the results start to go bad, they would always value, like, let's get a good team environment again, or let's get a player that can fit this role who might not have the name of a Shox, but perhaps he can practice more and he's willing to play, you know, or perhaps he doesn't have the same issues as a young player as Kenny S does back in the day. We'll get someone else who got more tenured in, you know. So I've always appreciated that they did that. So the fact that not only are they not looking to do it, but they're even essentially telling you all the time, publicly and privately, no, we are not looking at moves. We're not trying to do it. I know there was a report a few months back saying that, like, they had made an offer to that Zwiyu or whatever his name is. But apparently he's not going to be coming anyway. Like, that's off the table. So basically, yeah, they shit out a lot, because think about the problem that they have is, like, they'd have to go with sort of an unknown name, someone who hasn't really done anything, because they don't, let's face it, right, I'm sorry to tell all the fans out there who believe in fairy stories, they're not going to be getting RPK or fucking Scream back, like, not, those trains have left the station already, they're not coming back. It's like, they're not going to be recruiting one of those, but they're just known quantities that you're not going to get much more than you got now. So, unfortunately, I do think they're going to use this excuse that you referenced of Shox's injury, and they're just going to try and buy 2 or 3 months with that and hope that magically it just all comes around. I will say, I mean, bizarrely, Shox himself's actually been playing pretty fucking well the last few, basically all this year. Yeah. So that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. Maybe that's also why he has to get the surgery. Like, he's actually going ham trying to be a star player again. The guy who's disappointing to me, I mean, funnily enough, when I did my reflections interview with him, he even says this at the end of the interview that sometimes I'm an arsehole to him, but it's deserved. And this is exactly why. Kenny S is playing pretty fucking mediocre for his standards. And for a normal pro player, yes, he's obviously a pro player. He's still a good AWPer. But this should be a guy who's blowing people out the server. I mean, you talk about best AWPers at the moment. The best AWPers at the moment aren't even the real fucking AWPers. It's like Simple and Oscar. This guy's a dedicated AWPer. He should be the best in the whole game. And I can tell you something. If you know anything about him as a person, he literally is one of the only players that fans should love. Because I'd say the sad thing when we were talking about Bialy is there's loads of pro players who are trying their arse off playing 12 hours a day and they're fucking shit in the game. Then there's players who, like Shox, by the way, who could play 3 hours a day, turn up and just do some incredible shit that none of us could ever do. But Kenny S is actually one of those players where his form goes by how much he plays. And if he plays loads, then he will be one of the best players in the entire world. And if he has form like he has this year, that's because he ain't playing the motherfucking game. And he knows that, and his team knows that. But again, what are they going to do? What, kick Kenny S out and get fucking Twanu or something? There's no options out there. So yeah. I don't really know what you do. I mean, as you were saying there as well, even the excuses don't really work. Like, for example, every series they lost, they still could have won. They were close to maybe getting the two maps. Doesn't matter, though. You have to eventually win some fucking series. And actually, if you look at the last tournaments they've had, the major star series, those were the ones where they basically mainly won against, like, they got lucky draws most of the time, some pretty shit teams. So they 3-0'd all the Swiss systems, but generally not against good teams. They did beat Cloud9, I'll say that. But they come to this tournament, as you're saying, okay, you lose to Fnatic. There can only be so many excuses. Like, you can't always be like, well, I only lost to a good team. To be a good team, you must beat good teams. That is just a fact of the scenario. Like, if you want to be like, oh, but I only lost to good teams, right, cool, well, then you can be the 11th best team in the world. Are you happy with that? Not really good enough, is it? So, yeah, this is another team where, unlike actually a lot of the other squads we could talk about, they're doing badly. I don't really know myself what you do. I mean, everyone knows what my obvious suggestion would be. Either go with existence, fuck it if you really want to go, happy if you think you can reformulate it, or, as I referenced before, go with an unknown in-game leader. I mean, look at what Fnatic just did. They took a guy that Nip didn't want to take fucking Golden in. No one gave a fuck about Golden. He was on an academy team. Now he's won fucking IM. So if you're not willing to go with existence or happy, so basically those are like lesser of two evil scenarios where it's like, there's going to be problems, we know how to deal with them. If you're not going to go down that route, you can't stick with the current one. It doesn't work. So you've got to go and you've got to get an unknown in game leader and you've got to commit to that. I mean, here's the thing. There's still a part of me naively holds out the hope that we can just have a Kenny and S and Shox team the way they carry the team and somehow it'll work. But they haven't done it so far. So I don't know what would change now, you know.
Look, I'll be straight honest about my interpretation of what I think's going on with a team. And I think it's like, you know, you've got these two players who are like, you know, amazing star players, but they don't play structured. They don't play structured CS. They play...
Oh, that's another thing to say, by the way, Rich.
Yeah.
This team, when they were in Envious, everyone knows I have sort of an ideological difference in playing the game. I don't like teams who play that style where you use the CZ and you force back. But I always gave them credit because it worked and they won. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked for months and months. You haven't won any fucking playoff series. It is appalling. You lose every 14-14 game where you do that. It's utterly outrageous. So there's no excuse for it anymore. Like, I know it's fun to do, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, and you, like I say, you know, they brought Smiths in as a coach.
Fuck, like, what he does.
Yeah, like, real talk now. Like, I saw this tweet that fucking Ocelot, who owns G2, put
that
out.
That tilted me, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, this tilted me, like, a little bit. Like, I like Carlos. Carlos is a baller. I'm down with Carlos. Like, he's a good guy.
And he's usually a very real guy, but in this scenario, he doesn't know what the fuck he is talking about, and he's going to do jack shit.
Yeah, but this tweet is mad. He goes, CSGO fans, we know we are sorry. Winning is in our DNA, and the last two tournaments have been deeply heartbreaking. I'm personally committed to helping the team return to form. Trust the process, as you've always done, and we'll deliver as we always did. Well, what is the process, mate? Come on, you ain't doing fucking Moneyball up in this bitch. Who the fuck you lying to? Why? Also, what are you lying for?
What tournaments are you talking about? The last eight tournaments have been mad, mate. You can shut the fuck up.
If only it was two.
It was something like August last year that you were having like good results.
Yeah, like real talk here. Here's how it's got to go down, right? Like, existence needs to fucking realize that it happened to Zeus. It's never happening to you, motherfucker. You ain't winning no major. Real talk. Like, real talk. You ain't winning no major. Certainly not as a player. But if you come along here and you coach this team and you get them as drilled as your old Very Games team was from Source, and I fucking remember it, and I saw them dominate for 2.5 fucking years, just straight winning everything. If you get these players as drilled as that, and I know you can do it, right? If they'll listen to you, which is another issue, because certainly I've talked to these guys, and you know there's differences. But if you're all grown men now, put those differences aside. Get fucking existence in his coach. Smiths can still come and be a fucking groupie or whatever you need. He's a good guy. A lot of respect for Edouard, but I don't rate him as a coach. Towards the end of his career, I didn't rate him as a player. Existence has still clearly got an amazing brain. There's a reason why he's the top of all of them, like Flash Stats and all that on HLTV. Motherfucker knows how the game works. Bring him in as a coach, get these boys fucking whipped into shape, and if he can't get them a tournament win in the next three tournaments, then it's clearly the fucking players. Because the system I will believe in is Existence's system, because I've seen it work. So, like, you know, it's not going to be Ocelot who whips him into shape. It's not going to be Smiths. You got to fucking do something. But like, and Existence is there now. He's a free agent. There aren't any excuses.
Yeah. I mean, hell, if I'm you, I'd even, fuck it, just trick him. Like, tell him, you know what? What we'll do is this, mate. You have to, because he obviously doesn't want to be a coach, does he? So what you do is you tell him, well, you haven't got any teams at the moment, so just do it for 3 months. And if it goes well, maybe we renegotiate. If it doesn't, maybe you can, we'll give you our blessing to go elsewhere. And obviously your hope is, which is a pretty reasonable expectation, that he could actually accomplish something, and then he'd think to himself, why the fuck would I come back to being a player when they'll never be let me be a player anyway? And then everything would just continue on happily ever after. The big problem here, by the way, which you've sort of alluded to, which is not... Here's the thing, right? A lot of pro player personalities are massively exaggerated through the prism of fame and the fact that people just have very short memories, so they remember stupid shit like, haha, Freiburg, King of Banana, like, you know, 3 years after he was ever even good at playing that position anymore. But it is not in any way exaggerated how ludicrously, like, prideful the French top players are. People like Kenny Aisharks, even to a degree, NBK in a mad sense, considering he's the coolest guy out of them all. He has his own streak where he's mega stubborn and thinks things have to go a certain way and he can only play with certain players. The problem is you can't get all these guys in a room to sit down and actually talk about the shit. Funnily enough, they have a very weird culture where they will get in a room and have a beer and all pretend to be mates, they won't just sit down and do business. Like, what I would love with this team, and funnily enough, the money's already there, Rich. Like, that's one of the sickest things about G2. G2 and Virtus Pro, two of the highest paid teams in the entire fucking world, and they're getting no results.
They got the scratch, yeah.
Like, I want, with this team, someone to do what that Arbalete guy did with all those fucking Ukrainian players to make Na'Vi, which is, for anyone who doesn't know, he took a veteran player, Starix, and he told him, I will give you the funding and salary to have one of the best salaries in the world and full support for 1 year, and you must make a team which puts aside all personal differences and who has played with who, which is just the best team that Ukraine can make, because you are going to represent Ukraine in the CIS region. And they did that. And as a result, Starix even told me he made choices that he would not have made if he'd been making a team himself. He brought in people who, you know what, maybe he didn't get along with, or he'd never played with, or maybe he had beef with as an interpersonal rival. Well, guess what? The obvious scenario set up here. You get NBK and he say the same thing. I will not bother paying you guys anymore unless you are going to do this approach. Get the players, regardless of your history, who would be the best right now to make this the best team France can have, and let's fucking do this for real.
Yeah. I hope, like I say, they're all sick players when they're sick, you know what I mean? And I hope they can fucking get it together. Whatever.
Well, I will say this, by the way, Rich. Yeah. That's another thing I've never liked about the Force Buy style. It's really exciting when it works. Tell you what, when it doesn't work, is one of the shittest styles in the world to watch. You just watch people buying guns that aren't as good as other people and getting shot in the head. That's nothing fun about that.
Nah, for real. And it's weird that the Force buy style wouldn't work at a time when the CZ's like OP
as fuck. Like a motherfucker for everyone else, mate. Even Astralis makes it work. They're not even a fucking gambling team like that.
Yeah, it's mad. So anyway, moving on. We'll skip out like Heroic 9th to 12th as well, Gamut 9th to 12th, Renegades 9th to 12th. Like, yeah, they're not the big stories. Let's talk about SK Gaming dropping down 7th to 8th. And we've been talking a lot about SK Gaming and how we expected them to come out sort of swinging in 2018. Let's be clear, just as a reminder for those who don't know, here's what SK Gaming said. SK Gaming said before the major that they weren't going to practice with Phelps. They weren't going to do it. Phelps was a stand-in. They were hardcore practicing with Bolts.
Yeah.
Right? And that they were like, listen, the major is almost a throwaway tournament for us as a result of it. We'll still try to win, but whoever wins it instead of us, there's going to be an asterisk.
I believe that Cold Zera, I think it was, even implied, not only are majors not as important now, but I think he even implied they cared more about winning other tournaments, including WESG. They even implied that. So their strong implication, as you've made here, is the reason why we're probably not going to do well at this major is because we're not really practicing for it. So now, let's lead into the story now.
Yeah, well, let's definitely do it. So, there was a lot of talk because they had that good run when they brought Bolts in first. And people were saying, is this going to be the best SK Gaming we've ever seen? Is this going to be the one that transcends previous lineups? Like when they first came over, from Luminosity. Like, is Bolts the missing piece of a jigsaw nobody even fucking knew was out the box? Because SK Gaming have been one of the all-time great teams with one of the all-time great cores in any version of Counter-Strike. Sure, yeah. But this is a team that's fucking straight languishing. They aren't looking good at all. And the last few tournaments we've talked about them, they've been subpar. They haven't even made it to finals. And in Katowice, this was really bad. This is as bad as I've seen them play. They finished in 7th to 8th overall, which is down there with North. And if you look at the way the format works, there was opportunities for them to get through. Keep in mind, all they
have
to do...
You have to lose two best of three series to have that happen here.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to lose two best of threes. And in the best of threes that they played, that the ones that they beat Gambit, which is fair enough, but then and that was a 2-1, so far from polished. You would expect them to blow this iteration of Gambit out of the water, but they actually lost to Cloud9. 2-1. And what was interesting about that was, again, it came down to the same old bullshit. Things seem to go drastically wrong in the veto. So keep in mind, in this veto that went down, this best of three, SK Gaming banned Overpass as their first ban.
Yep.
I don't like that. Just saying. Then they picked Cash first, which is fair dues, whatever. They're doing that more often now. Cloud9 picked Mirage. SK Gaming took out Nuke, because we know that's one of their permabans, which gave Cloud9 the option. They'd take out Train. And once again, you've got Inferno left dangling in there. Now, I know they've made, this is one of those fake numbers. It's one of those fake stats. They've made improvements on Inferno. Yeah, they can now beat Tier 2 opposition on Inferno. Congratulations. They still struggle on this map, with this map, against Tier 1 opposition. And it just seemed incredibly strange that they could have had Overpass in there as a decider, but didn't. They literally could have had the dream. They could have got both their permanent bans banned and didn't do it. They were so scared of playing Cloud9 on Overpass. So that is beyond stupid and not something I expect from the world's greatest in-game leader, and clearly one of the great minds in Counter-Strike. But then fuck it. We all know Cloud9 haven't been fucking great since they won the major. Almost feels very similar to a Gambit situation where they've peaked and now it's like, fuck it, it doesn't matter if we don't win the next tournaments, we're the major winners. They're very flat. That people are definitely taking them more seriously, that's an aspect to it, but they've underperformed and going into this series, despite Cloud9 I think having a slight edge if you include all of the online Counter-Strike they've played and including like tournaments like the Summit and stuff, I felt that SK Gaming were going to be a lock here. I really did, because I feel like Cloud9 haven't been at their best. Instead, what you got was they played very well on cash, and then Mirage and Inferno both went the way of Cloud9. I expected Cloud9 to take Mirage. As I said, Inferno should never have been in this veto. And they go out 7th to 8th. And in particular, nobody really stood out the entire time for SK Gaming. It wasn't like there was one person playing incredibly well or one person playing incredibly poorly. They were all pretty much flat. Like, if you look at the kills across the series, which usually in SK Gaming, there's definitely a disparity because they're very much a role-oriented team. You usually see Taco and Bolts right down there at the bottom while Cold Zero, Fur, or Fallen go off. That's very often for the spread. It was Fallen on 54 and Taco on 48. And Taco at the bottom and Fallen at the top. It was just like nobody was doing SK Gaming things in this game, in this series. And they didn't really look all that great in the tournament. Now, before I get your thoughts on it, I will just also read you this one thing. Cold Zero went on Instagram, and we've talked about this before, about how, you know, they've got the SK Gaming are basically Schrodinger's team, in the sense they've got the best fans in the world when they're winning, but also the worst fans in the world when they're losing. And it's a constant thorn in their side. And Cold Zero put a really long post out. I've translated it, so it's a bit janky. I apologize. But he said, "I will post this again to some who think they know about CS here, because of course when one gains idolatry, I imagine that means fame, but when we lose, here comes the reign of shit. The saddest thing is to see that most of our fans only cheer when we are winning or when we are at our peak. There are many types of fans. Those who only cheer because they bet, those that twist things regardless of the outcome, and those who we value who cheer us at all times. The hater has every moment." I don't know what that means. This is a bit of a weird sentence. It goes, a hater has us at every moment. A defeat that we when we lose, a championship that we lose, a move where somebody misses, or sometimes they criticize us just for being a dork, and that their dream was to be in our place. If anyone wants to take my place, all of you haters out there, you should go sit and play and do better than anyone else on our team. No one has ever stopped from the beginning. We've all put in an amazing amount of fucking effort to achieve what we have. Do you think people who lose are happy at this moment? The answer is a big no. Do you think I play for money? No, I play to have a fucking trophy inside my house and see my country at the top. That is my biggest salary. I play for 12 hours a day. I do not sleep at night. I have to change everything in 2, 3, 4 days notice and spend stress traveling every week. Sometimes we have no time for ourselves. So instead of filling this bag, send a message of support or send criticism that helps us see something that we are not seeing. Nobody here likes to lose, much less people who have experienced being at the top 2 times before. And then it sort of goes out and just says, if you're a hater, fuck you. So I thought this was interesting because this really sort of shows the mindset in the team. You know, they're definitely feeling it. You know, they're an emotional bunch of guys anyway. But to specifically go down that route and be like, hey, perhaps you can even show us something we're not seeing. You know, don't hate on us. We're sick and tired of losing. We don't like it. We've been at the top. We're doing everything we can to get back there. There was a little bit of desperation in that post, and it was very un-Cold Zero-like, in my opinion. So I think they got all sorts of problems right now.
Especially since, as I actually relayed in a story that I told on Twitter in the wake of this thing coming out, because obviously I knew some people would take this as like, wow, he's attacking his own fans. It's like, no, the whole point is this guy really is like a guy who has an insane work ethic for the game. Yeah. So I told this story about an event. I won't say which event because I don't want to like give the details so people fucking it'd be too dodgy for his teammates. Basically, there was an event that they didn't do that well at last year. And I was talking to him at the bar afterwards, and here's the thing. I keep it real. Like most people, by the way, don't at expense. There's so many, like, and sadly for people who've never been to these scenarios, the level of fucking sycophancy from other players and industry people at laughter parties is unreal. Like, they'll go up. This is how people like VP and Nip, by the way, get into these delusional states where they're bombing every tournament, but they don't think it's going to work out because the other teams that are playing them are telling them shit like, yeah, you'll get it together. you're fucking legends. Oh, respect you so much. You know, like, ignore the haters. As all, like, you know, as all haters are what's making you play bad. Like, the most ludicrous, like, excuse of all time. So in this scenario, whenever I talk to players, I don't, if they're a tournament player, a team that did bad, I never initiate conversation with them because I don't want to get into a scenario where I have to tell them basically you were shit at this tournament. But what happened was, Colzane was talking to me, and in talking to me, he was saying something about, like, the tournament or whatever. And then I was saying, like, you weren't doing very well at this tournament yourself, though. You know, you can't really, like, you can't say anything about your team. You can't say anything about the opponent. You yourself didn't do to the level that what you expect to yourself. You know, think about how good you've been in the tournament. And he basically told me, like, yeah, you're right. But you know what? Next tournament, I'll be back. And he said, you know, individually, because obviously he can't promise what his team's going to do. He doesn't know. But he said, next tournament, individually, I'll be back. And at the very next tournament that I went to, which was the next one that he played at, he didn't win the tournament, but he literally had, like, inhuman stats, like stats that are like were like right back at you, like the prime of his whole career. So that means, unless he just got lucky, this guy literally did go home in his team being in the slump and just grind fucking hours so that when he came back, he individually was at his prime level when he came back. Now, the point I'm making with this is that's what I expect Cold Zero to do when things go badly, is to go away and to go, right, all I be sort of fucking stoic, be like, all I can do is take care of my scenario and be the best I can be, and I've got to trust Fallen and the people in the SK Org to make the rest of the team work. So the fact that he's coming out and making this public statement, that's very worrying to me, because there's only one other time I'm aware of that Cold Zero came out and made an attack on fans, which was the famous incident where he came out and used, I think, inadvertently, a homophobic slur against a fan who was being annoying, admittedly. And that was right when they had that whole scenario where Fur had to go out and Showtime came in, and they Showtime, got beat 16-0 by Renegades. And at that time, no one knew what was going to happen with their team, because, you know, maybe Fur comes back and he's injured and he never gets, they never recover it. And at the time, they started to lose tournaments. And I understand they were at a bad position with all these stressors, and that's why he did it, right? That sounds like the same scenario again, Rich, because in this scenario, he doesn't have an option to improve the team. He doesn't have an option to make things better. He's looking at it and going, fuck it, if I know what to do, I'm trying my best, they're trying their best. Like, I think this is short as a sign of desperation, like you're saying. It shows me that, like, the wheels are coming off the bus in this scenario. And funnily enough, when he says in that article, that post, very correctly, like, you know, we've gotten back to the top again and again and again. Yeah, but there's two ways you did that, mate. One, you made harsh roster moves. Two, you're just an amazing team. Those two things can change overnight. One, you can't make roster moves right now. What are you going to do? Kick out the guy you just brought in? Then two, you can't just live forever and just be an amazing team. It just doesn't happen. So I don't know what they do at this point in time. I mean, I still think they have the pieces to be a very good team. I have to say, the whole veto thing, I was on the same train as everyone else for a while, which is like, why are they doing these vetoes? Why are you playing Inferno? I have to say, no, like, this is one of the things I've always prided myself on, and one of the reasons I specialized in vetoes is because I've always said this: vetoes tell you the psychology of the in-game leader. And so when they keep letting Inferno through, first of all, as the third map, and then obviously just having to play it as a map when people pick it, that tells me that there's a reason they're vetoing Overpass and why they're not letting train in. Though I know we all think of those as what amazing maps they were last year. They don't think that, and in fact that tells me that they would feel so uncomfortable playing train right now that they'll willingly play a map that they get fucking abused on the CT side. People know, like, it's funny that all the SK fans threw Phelps under the bus, because everyone who plays fucking Inferno at that B site gets abused by everyone. Everyone in the whole game knows it now. So the sad thing is, I know, I don't get why they're doing it, but I actually trust, believe it or not, I trust that they know what they're talking about. This is an example of where I always say, I think people actually are mad disrespectful at SK, because on the one hand, they want to say, Goldzir is the best player, but then they also go, but he also has three other sick players with him. It's like, well, which is it, mate? You know. So I do think Goldzir is an amazing player. I think Fur's a sick player. I think Fallen is probably either in a tough spot where there's nothing you can do, or yes, maybe he's making the wrong choice in the veto. But the problem is, I don't know what you do instead. I don't know what the solution is. I think they're in fucking bad shape right now.
Well, let's just be real, right? So in 2018, right, which, keep in mind, is meant to be their year, because the end of 2017 on a motherfucking high, remember, everyone was all high-fiving.
I just remembered, let me quickly say this as well. One other thing to say, you did this to yourself. Because I know from other players and other teams, it happened with Astralis when Device came back. Lurpus told me a story of where his brother used to be too young to play the CPLs. So they'd have his brother, who's one of the star players of the team. He'd have to go out. They'd bring in a stand-in. They'd play the CPL. And they'd all say every time, right, we're not going to practice that much. This is just a stand-in. He said every time they came back to the real lineup, things were fucked up, because you actually adjust to that guy you brought in and you change things up and you try and win. So even though they told us, we're not playing with Phelps, haha, and sort of did it, by the way, I think quite fucking cynically, to sort of piss in E-League's face, quite frankly. But they kept going on and on about how they weren't practicing with fucking Phelps. And now, playing terribly, and now, but you know, things change when you play with another player. You shouldn't have fucking told us that then, should you? You've made your own bed on that one, mate. I can't give you the benefit of the doubt. Lie in your own bed.
Yeah. Well, so like end of 2017, y'all remember everyone was talking about it. Like, so they silenced Astralis at the Blast Pro Series, which felt like it was almost set up for Astralis to win on home soil. Yep. Then they go to the fucking Pro League season six finals, 3-1 phase, sick game. And everyone's like, right, shit, maybe SK Gaming are the best team in the world still. Like, and they said, listen, this is our level with Bolts. This is where we're at. Then they go to the major. We all know that went down, you know, third to fourth, had the unfortunate issue of being the team that had to play twice in a day and, you know, lent on that as an excuse, plus the Phelps stand-in. So nobody really thought there was a problem, and then they followed that up with WESG, right, North American Finals, beat Cloud9, a little bit of revenge for the major. But then after that, right, third at the summit, which people again made an excuse. It's a relaxed tournament. You can't expect a team like SK Gaming who are always straight grinding.
So they have excuses.
Right? And then, and again, these excuses offered by fans, obviously not by the players themselves, even though they are prone to one. And then they went to the Star Series. Well, they got bodied by Liquid and knocked out, right? Fifth to eighth. And now they just got bodied by Cloud9. Seventh to eighth, and they went out. They've got a fucking serious problem. This is meant to be the definitive version of SK Gaming. That's what SK Gaming are telling me. Yeah. And yet, you've got two maps in the current competitive pool you absolutely cannot play, and one map you seem to be afraid of playing when it used to be your best map. So what is going on? Like, serious, someone's got to man the fuck up and take charge of that team. You know, it's this isn't good enough. Like, this isn't good enough at all. Hello? Is that room service?
Apparently, I have to go answer the fucking door. Right, wait there a second. How much long is this going to be?
20 minutes, I think we got.
I'll be back in 1 minute. Then.
Yeah, do your thing, do your thing. We'll edit this out, brother. I've got to answer the fucking door, have I? I love it, mate. I love him. One day they're going to civilize Duncan, mate. I don't know what we'll do when that happens. If this is massage for Mr. Shields.
He's come back in a bathrobe.
Yeah. Was right. That the full body massage that you booked, was it?
Just the fucking people who want to clean the room or whatever.
Right, good, excellent. All right, so that's SK Gaming. Like, they definitely need to switch things up. Let's move on. We'll talk a little bit about Cloud9. We touched upon it. I'll just get your general thoughts. Again, it wasn't like a great tournament for them. It wasn't a bad tournament for them. Kind of put them in the middle of the pack. What do you think of Cloud9? Because right now, I'm guessing that you're sort of leaning towards Liquid being the number one team in NA. You know, they're getting the better results and everything.
Yeah.
You know, have Cloud9 peaked, or is that just crazy talk? Is it too soon to say that?
Oh, I think they definitely peaked. I mean, that was literally what I thought when I saw them win the major. I was like, this is what happens when everything goes right for you for like 3 days in a row. Guess what? That doesn't happen. The sickest thing, this is one of the things people won't appreciate about Counter-Strike, sadly. It's like, I know to every fan, when you watch a player do something amazing, you go, fuck, imagine if he did that every time. Well, he's obviously not going to, is he? The best way to judge a player is look at his average day. His average day will tell you who he is as a player. Now, what makes people like the aforementioned Cold Zero Simple so unreal is their average day is better than like fucking someone like Stewie 2K could ever dream of. So that's why they will consistently win tournaments. And a bad day for FaZe, where we all call them fucking losers, is like narrowly losing a massive final. For someone like Cloud9, to even make a final will take everything in their team. Now, that's not some sort of diss. That is a fact of nature. Like, what do you want? Like, they're just not a top-level team. So I think if you look at it, I think they're in a bit of trouble, quite frankly, because, like, Automatic's been playing pretty well this year. I think his level's actually gotten to a pretty high level. He's pretty good. I think Skanoodle, obviously, he's never going to do the shit he did at the major again. I don't know why anyone thinks that's the case, but, okay, he's going to do what he's going to do. The ones in the middle, Stewie 2K and Tarek are streaky as fuck. They're just all over the place, mate. They're a bit of a wreck, actually. And funnily enough, I saw there was a picture, I think it was BSL or someone posted it, where they showed like Stewie 2K was like grinding hours on the tournament PCs there. Again, another example, right? I'm sure he is mad dedicated. Doesn't always come out in your play, unfortunately. So when you add in streaky form with, they do play a fairly streaky style of Counter-Strike, I think this isn't even that terrible. Like, I know this one, they didn't have that higher placing, like you'd hope they go higher. This is who they are as a team. For me, a good day for Cloud9 is going to be you make a semi-final. a bad day is going to be probably top eight. This is about where they should probably be. I said on the Star Series one, they were close to making it through. They probably got a bad draw at the end. So I think this is actually who Cloud9 is. I don't think it's like some mad slump, personally. Mm.
And let's talk about Liquid. You know, Liquid had a good run at this tournament, constantly improving, constantly getting better. NaFly really showing he's probably a top five player in the world right now against sort of all the fucking odds. They were a bit unlucky, you know, could have made it to the final, ran up against a very good Fnatic side. They had a super close Inferno. Mirage didn't quite deliver. But what sort of typified this, or rather not typified, but what stood out for me here at Katowice was Liquid made it all the way to the semis, but they didn't really have everybody firing on all cylinders, like actually far from, you know, like, Elige particularly went missing in the series against Fnatic. You know, Steel is doing what Steel does. He's more the glue. You don't really look to him at a frag. But there was a couple of shonky performances by Nitro as well, which was a little bit strange because he's been like in God tier form of late. I'd say career best. Yet they still managed to make it all this way by just having incredibly solid structure and cohesion on the maps that they're good at, you know, think Inferno, etc. So definitely intrigued. You know, are we going to see Liquid win a tournament this year? Think it's possible. You know, like a bigger tournament, I should say. I think it's possible, but I don't know. What do you think?
For me, Liquid is, I do think they're the best NA team, but not by much. Like, I think they're just slightly better. Like, one of the factors that I think is very, very positive for Liquid is when Cloud9 won the major, one reason I couldn't buy into the idea they were going to become the new number one team is because they won it thanks in part to like Overpass and Inferno. And I just don't buy that they're going to beat like the world's best teams on those two maps. Like, it's not going to happen for me. Whereas actually Team Liquid, one thing that I think is a massive positive for them is they also have a limited map pool, but they're just by pure coincidence, it's a really good map pool to have. Like, they play Cobblestone, Inferno. What else do they play? I think they play Overpass as well. I mean, admittedly, I don't necessarily buy that it's sick, but they basically have the map pool where you can't like, against every top team, they can always, in theory, be in position to win one map, their own map. But that immediately is going to give you a good chance. The problem with Cloud9 has is Cloud9 can play people and, in theory, get 2-0. That can happen. They have no choice in the veto. So I think Team Liquid is a slightly better team than Cloud9. I think they're both still like top five, top six teams. There's no shame in being just slightly better. But yeah, I think it's the problem Team Liquid has in contrast to Cloud9 is I actually think generally Team Liquid does get a lot out of all their players. Like, I agree, Elige was mad off this tournament, but generally they have insane firepower. Their problem is they are so fucking mentally weak as a team. It's unreal. Like, if they lose a game, they get bodied. They don't lose like, oh, we lost 16-12 and it was close. If they start losing, I don't know why it is. Like, if I had to guess, I'd look at those players. I don't really see sort of like leadership figures in those players. I look at like people like Nitro's a very wishy-washy player. Elise just kind of does his own thing. Twisted's 17 years old. You can't blame him. Like, Naf is sort of a loner. That's been his problem in his whole career. So I have to say that they're a very fragile team. When it's going great, it looks awesome. They can definitely win maps against the best teams in the world. They probably could make some finals this year. I think it's probably unrealistic to think they're going to win titles. They definitely could win one in the same way Cloud9 did. Probably going to be a solid top four team for me.
All right, well, let's just jump right ahead to the final. So let's talk a little bit about, obviously, what went down. It was the final between Fnatic and FaZe. FaZe make it to the final again, looking very good. 2-0'd 2-0'd Astralis to get there and square up against Fnatic. Certainly, FaZe have been looking good over the course of the tournament. Fnatic punching above their weight, let's be clear. They were bouncing back from one of their all-time worst performances, going 0-3 at the previous tournament that they attended. I don't think anybody saw them getting this far. FaZe heavily favored going into this one. Instead, it didn't go the way that people thought it was going to go. FaZe... definitely, and let's be real. It's a best of five as well, which obviously is a lot more of a marathon than a sprint. But FaZe started out strong, but it just absolutely didn't go the way people thought it was going to go. I think most people were feeling FaZe to get this 3-1. Yes. I would have, I was thinking that the maps that went in were Cash, Inferno, Overpass, Mirage, and Train. I certainly would have given Inferno to Fnatic. I think FaZe Immortal on Inferno, even though they keep playing it. I think Fnatic have a really solid, great Inferno right now. But I looked at all the other maps as they came out in the veto, and I was like, well, I can't see Fnatic beating them on Overpass. I can't see Fnatic beating them on Mirage. Can't see Fnatic beating them on Cash. So it's done. I don't even think we get to train, which I also would have picked FaZe to win on. So FaZe, for me, had everything in the veto. This was a perfect veto for them. You were only going to give up a map. And when that map went to overtime for Fnatic to win it, I was like, well, fuck it. That's it. It's done. FaZe have got them on toast. But I think we've got to start saying that FaZe have got a fucking finals problem. Now, it's not what people say it is. So a lot of people tweeting out about Nico. Nico always goes missing in the final. He might have the odd map. Statistically, he was fine over the final. That's a
sick
myth.
In the last map as well.
Yeah, that's a myth that needs to fucking be put to bed right now before it actually takes hold. Nico does not choke in finals. He might have the odd map where he's not Nico levels of player. He definitely had a very poor map here, but to on Overpass, I think it was, where he got like, he didn't even get into double figures. But to try and imply that Nico choked in his final is fucking absurd, so don't even say it. But certainly FaZe did overall. Everything was here for them. It didn't work out the way that it was supposed to. And now this is, what is it, like four finals they've made it to? That they've lost, including the major.
Oh, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I will say this. Considering this is the team that is supposed to have the era, it's mind-blowing to me that they're not fucking actually sealing some of these and making it happen. Because you're not going to get these opportunities again. Other teams are coming for you. Other teams are going to make changes. Other teams are going to improve. Other teams are going to anti-strat you and break down your tactics. And just think about the sheer madness of it. That Golden is stepping up and winning tournaments, and Carrigan isn't with the team he's got. So this is awful for FaZe, in my opinion. And we'll give some love to Fnatic in a moment, but let's just start by talking about those guys.
Yeah, well, this is another example, along with the final against Cloud9, where every fan gets mad because they love the underdog. So why are you downplaying the underdog? Because the point is, the underdog could have done everything they did, which was, by the way, play the game of their life in both examples, and it wouldn't have mattered. Cloud9 would have lost the major if one more round went FaZe's way on Inferno. A Fnatic would have lost this tournament if one more round went the fucking way of FaZe. Like, it wouldn't have mattered. That's the point. Even the overperformance by the underdog, you have to start with the fact that the team that's in like five finals in what fuck knows, like 3 months or something mental, has won one of them. That's how, and even that one was the close one, if you remember. That was the one where they narrowly beat Mouse. This team has some sort of a problem in finals. And the reason why I specifically say that, I made a joke on Twitter, but it's not even just a joke. There's a point behind it. Right? The old joke with Carrigan was, he used to get to the semis of a lot of tournaments, right, and lose, right? He's the best player in the world at fucking playing semifinals. You could put anyone against this motherfucker in a semifinal. I'd put my house on him winning because he wins them all day long. And his team plays like they're exposed to in those. But you get to a final and somehow, bizarrely, it's not supposed to happen if you're the favourite. The team who's the favourite is supposed to use the psychological advantage of a final as a weapon against the underdog. And that's how you cream all the underdogs. Yeah. Maybe you're having the best tournament of their life. Suddenly they're having an off game and they're under pressure. What's mad is somehow it's FaZe that gets affected by this. And what I don't understand, the most bizarre part is you've got players like Olafmeister, Guardian, some of the most clutch players we've had at the highest level of Counter-Strike, who themselves have been sucked into this sort of vortex of like, can't deliver under pressure. Now, not in terms of Guardian overall, but you know, like these players even sort of start to lack confidence and play badly and do inexplicable things that they don't do in, you know, the other 15 maps of a tournament. So this is probably the worst one I've ever seen, actually, Rich, because when they had the IEM one, okay, against NiP, at least NiP had one factor going for them, which is, okay, NiP was actually the worst of all the teams they've lost to, but NiP at least somewhat played the weird maps that you were going to have to play in the best of five. So there was a weird punch's chance on those ones. But then you go to Cloud9, right? The Cloud9 veto is a dream for fucking FaZe. That one's inexplicable. Yeah. No excuse for that. This one's the worst, though, because of the best of five here, Fnatic has nowhere to go in this veto. Fnatic has to ban Nuke, and they basically, like you're saying, their only chance is Inferno. And then that game comes along, and FaZe is in control of this game and ends up losing it narrowly. Okay, cool. You can lose one map in a best of five. A best of five is very forgiving to losing one map. The idea that you get rocked on Overpass is inexplicable. That has to be on FaZe, I'm afraid, because Fnatic doesn't play Overpass. They do. They just lose all the time, and it's not a map they like. So they absolutely rock you on the map. Then you go over to the other side of the equation. You have the train game. Again, not a Fnatic map, quite frankly. And in that game, actually what's mad about this one is I thought that was the game that was going to turn this whole story around, because it looked towards the end like they're coming back into it. They're finally, they take control on CT side. Now people like Nico are hitting all their shots. This is where you win. And even though you won close, you're like, right, you got the monkey off your back, you know, you've won a big final. And then I have to say, that's the one area where I guess it's different from the Nip and the other ones, is that Flusher is like obviously an all-time great player and just took over the fucking game. So that's that. The lesson to take there, though, if you phase is, that's not an excuse. The excuse is definitely that you let a guy have five maps to wake up and do some legendary shit. You should have won this in three or four maps and he never would have been able to have that impact, you know.
Exactly. And do you want to know what it reminds me of, what's going on with FaZe right now? It reminds me very much of what happened towards the end of Carrigan's tenure in Astralis, when they would get to these semi-finals and they would be in these pressure games, and suddenly all of these amazing players that were dropping literally the best stats in the tournament, the Devices, the Dupree's, going out, Zipniks, going absolutely off, you know, most clutches, most kills, most AWP kills, all of these fucking plaudits and medals and accolades raining from the sky, gets to a crunch game and they all go missing and they lose. And people were saying, well, they've got a choking problem. Well, now FaZe have a choking problem in finals. Yep. So, and what's the consistent here? Well, it's the in-game leader. And it does make me wonder, I'll say this, there's a lot to be said when you put a team together on the upswing. Brand new team. People are all excited about it. And Joe Carrigan, right? And you're this charismatic guy, really smart, really intelligent, very good tactically, great tenure. And he is one of the best in-game leaders I've ever seen at managing egos and being like, well, what do you want to do? And how do you want to bet in the team? And we can make it all work. He is one of the best committee in-game leaders, if not the best we've ever had. And he did that in Astralis, you know, what TSM as they were, and took them to where they were. Amazing work by him. He's done it again in FaZe. The problem is when they hit that wall, when they're there, there's not a ceiling they can break through, and the same thing keeps happening again and again and again. And I don't know what conversations he's having with these guys, but you all saw Astralis made the decision to ruthlessly cut Carrigan, a guy who put that team together, led those guys from tears to fucking glory, and they ruthlessly cut him, brought in a new in-game leader, and look where they're at now. Now, I'm not saying FaZe should do that, not by any stretch. But it does fucking remind me. There's certainly some parallels. I don't know where else you need to look. Because like I say, people say, oh, Nico went missing in the final. If you think that, you're an idiot. He had the most kills. It's definitely not Guardian. That motherfucker's played his heart out in every final he's fucking lost. Definitely doesn't deserve to do it. You can't say it's Rain, even though he wasn't great this final. Rain's one of the best players in the world, hands down.
By the way, what you're doing right now is what we used to, remember, what's good is the Astralis era was when we did By the Numbers. And this is what we used to do every episode. We would go through all the players and go, you actually can't cut anyone. It's basically the best fucking Danish players, and they all fit all their roles. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. So the only thing you're left with is, do you bring in a new in-game leader who might be able to take this team to the next level? Or some people say you should cut all off Meister. I think that's, I don't necessarily subscribe to that philosophy.
The problem is, if you bring in another in-game leader, you have to add this factor in. There's not only finals exist, guys. So you better literally be getting Glaive. You better be getting Fallen.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to, because you know what? There are no other in-game leaders that'll get you to every top four and every final. I realise he's not winning the finals. That is a massive problem. But it's not like he's not doing anything elsewhere. So this is why it's a mystery, isn't it?
So I don't know. And I mean, equally as well, I know this. Like, people have suggested bringing in a coach that's going to be more authoritarian. And Carrigan won't have that. That's not how Carrigan works. So there really isn't anything FaZe can do. Now, don't get me wrong. If you make some mad baller move and you drop all off Meister for Simple or something insane like that, which, again, is the stuff of fantasy football, it's never going to happen.
It would never happen.
It would never happen. But if it did, all right, let's talk. But the only other option, like I say, is to bring in an in-game leader who can maybe take them to the next level and stop them choking. I don't know. But certainly, FaZe have got a finals problem and they need to get over it. This is their time. I'll tell you, they're not going to be making it to finals in a year's time. I don't need a crystal ball to know that. That's how Counter-Strike works. This is it. You fucking get the trophies now or they don't come around. But as you said, Fnatic, Crims had an absolute amazing tournament. Crims has been one of the best players in 2018. And interestingly enough, in the final, he was eclipsed by the old fucking master himself.
That
Fisher.
Actually sucks, by the way, in a weird way, because I have
but
to say...
But Crims was on course for the MVP, no doubt.
I was going to give him the MVP even if they fucking lost that fifth map.
Oh, sadly, no doubt.
You can't really, when a guy literally takes over, like, single-handedly drops a 40-plus and wins every clutch. Like, I sort of have to give it up to the club, don't I?
Yeah, I think he was, like, back-to-back aces at one point as well. On train, absolutely. Like, Faye should have had train. Flusher happened. Like, now, don't get me wrong. Sure, like you said, maybe you can't legislate for that, but equally, you can't let Flusher get into a game. You know who he is. Yeah, you know who he is.
You don't let it get to that point.
You can't.
You didn't lose that game on train. Flusher won that game on train. You lost the game on fucking overpass, mate. That should have been a done series.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, just amazing stuff. And it's really interesting because we went in on Fnatic in the last podcast talking about that 0-3. It was the lowest ebb for this core of Crims, Flusher, JW that have been playing a long time. You know, Golden and Lecro, you know, like, obviously the new guys. I couldn't believe that they would bounce back to this degree. And I was watching them grow into this tournament and watching Crims play as well as he has done. It was fucking amazing to watch them play. And as I said, imagine a world where Golden's winning fucking tournaments and Carrigan isn't. This is an in-game leader who was in their academy side like 18 months ago. So just insane stuff from Fnatic. Just some thoughts about this, though, because you know how in CS you see all these like mad anomalies and like mad one-offs. Is this another one of those? Is this another like NIP winning Oakland kind of moment, or are Fnatic going to go on and do something from here?
Right, here's the thing. It's not as bad as the NIP one, because I mean, this is a good example, Rich, of like how you never can win if you're an analyst, by the way. Literally told everyone every second of NIP winning that final and every second afterwards, they won't follow this up. They won't win more tournaments. They won't be a better team in the phase. They won't do a top thing. Everyone just told me, you're fucking here. You won't find a person who said those things now, Rich. They don't exist. Magically now, they all knew Nip was going to be shit and that was a one-off. This isn't as bad as that, obviously. I mean, I made the distinction for the Cloud9 one. It's not as bad. Like, they'll still be a top team. They look pretty good. The thing is, I actually feel like the Cloud9 one and the Fnatic one are pretty similar because you had teams winning on the maps they don't normally win on and didn't subsequently. I'm going to go ahead and guess that Fnatic won't. You had players overperforming who probably won't. Believe it or not, that's Flusher. I've watched this Fnatic team. Flusher actually has not been anywhere close to this level. He's just been okay. It's fucking Crims and Lecro who are the best players in this team at the moment. So, okay, cool. He had a one-off tournament. Got to see some more of that before we can put any stock in it. As I said, map pool's not really believable. It was a great run. It was a great performance. What an amazing final. All great stuff. But no, I wouldn't personally buy that they're going to be some elite level team. Here's the thing. Maybe if everything goes great, they could be fourth best team in the world. But I don't think they're going to be like vying with FaZe every tournament, put out where.
No. All right, then. Well, look, I know you want to enjoy the rest of your holiday, so I'm going to go let you do it, brother. Let's wrap up the show there. All that remains to be done is to thank the patrons that make the show possible and pay for Duncan's holidays. These are our $100 patrons, Detlef Insomniac, Dr. Skriller and Mr. K Icon, Chris N. Wynn, Hyolu is a new one. Thank you very much. Mateus Pietakowski and Jerky's Minion. Our $50 patrons, Sardsawar, Daniel Plamenov Yordanov, Nastradamus, Marcus Kionpar, Mama Jama Hennessy, Keith Miller, Carl Oscar, Garcia Firm, Ben Akagi, Assassin, and William Southern. That was by the numbers. Duncan's going to go out and have a good time and come back sunburnt. We'll probably see you next week. We don't know when, but we are going to do it. And also, Duncan, just before I sign off, one quick idea. Right, because we've got to get an extra show in this month.
Right.
I was thinking, how about we watch the simple finals from Star Series against Mouse Sports? We just watch a POV of him and we just jerk him off.
As long as he can figure out how to do it, yeah.
Me and Sam will work it out. Anyway, right, that was it. That was by the numbers. Much love to all of you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.